The Bible said in Acts 26, verse number 1, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." Boy, I'm glad I've got something in me that I can answer for myself. I'm glad I don't have to get my mom and dad to tell about when I got saved, because they don't know nothing about it. I'm glad I don't have to go to a preacher and say, "Do you remember when I got saved?" I'm glad I don't have to go to a friend and say, "Do you remember when I got saved?" I'm glad that I know myself. Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. He said, "I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day. Before thee, touching all the things thereof, I'm accused of the Jews." He goes on and he gives his testimony. I want to say a testimony in a church is really not about how good God's been to you, because God's been good to everybody. A testimony is what the Lord has done to you, changed you by His marvelous grace. So Paul gave his testimony before the court. The Bible said this in verse 24, and as he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much teaching doth make thee mad." In other words, he said, "Paul, you've lost your mind." But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely." He said, "I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said these famous words unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Thank you for standing this morning. Father, as humble as I know how today, I asked you to take your word and move in the hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would save the closest one to hell this morning. God, hell's a real place. I pray that you'd distribute your grace to sinners today. Help us now in your word. I pray you'd bind the forces of the evil one coming against us. Help us to, oh Holy Ghost, would you exalt your word this morning? Holy Ghost, would you magnify our Christ? Would you put me on the backside of things today? Would you put the cross in the forefront? Draw sinners by your marvelous grace and love and mercy. And Lord, so we'll be grateful for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. A lot of you know the story about the Apostle Paul. Paul was on the Damascus Road minding his own business, doing that he felt impelled to do. Matter of fact, I noticed in studying a little this morning that the Bible said in verse 5, he said he knew from the beginning if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Paul was a very religious man. Religion had him. That's where America's at this morning. We live in a country that's very religious in some places. I would say probably religion's going to send more people to devil's hell than alcohol will, than dope will. Paul found out that his religion was about to run out. He got on the road. The Bible said in verse 13, it was a bright light come on the scene. Shined round about the Apostle Paul, and certainly anybody that has enough theology about them and Bible doctrines know that it takes the presence of God and the drawing of the Holy Ghost to save sinners. That light must shine from heaven on sinners. He must show us our darkness and our depraved nature. Our old forefathers preached this in a message quite often about the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. We hear a lot about just simply believe, but no Holy Ghost, there is no belief. It must take the Holy Ghost to draw sinners to the family of God, to show us our need of a Savior. You'll never get saved till the Holy Ghost shows you you're lost. You may join a church. And you may be baptized, but friend, you'll never get found till you get lost. And so that's the Holy Spirit's job. Here at midday, he saw him a way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around him. And he journeyed with him. And then he fell to earth and he said, I heard a voice speaking to me. Saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. Isn't it amazing? I like what one of the old preachers said. He got one of the church members sort of distracted and distorted. He said, God spoke Greek. He said, God didn't speak Greek to me. He spoke to me in my language. He said, Saul, Saul. Whether you be in the Philippines this morning, or you be in Mexico, or you be in Africa, God, the Holy Ghost, knows how to speak His language to your heart. I'm glad He knows our name today. I'm glad He knows. I'm glad one day He said, Ken, Ken. Thank God He called me from above. Thank God He knew my name. Oh, so He came and He called Saul's name. Now, Saul is simply in the court and he's giving them the testimony about what happened to him. He said, I'll answer for myself. He said, I was journeying and the light shined about me. I got convicted of my sins. Acts chapter 9, the Bible said that he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so certainly we see how the Lord saved him. And now it gets down to this Bible character that King Agrippa. I began to think about this phrase that he said this morning. As Paul gave his testimony to him, he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said these words that shook me in my shoes this morning. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I won't preach on this simple Bible topic this morning on almost but lost. Almost but lost. Has anybody ever asked you, are you finished with that project yet? And you say, almost. It means it's not a done deal yet. Means that the finished process has not happened. Did you pass the test? Almost is not good enough. Did you get to work on time? Almost, but not good enough. Isn't it sad to think that people in Liberty Baptist Church, some would almost make it to heaven, but it's not good enough. Boy, I almost made it to hell, but I'm glad that wasn't good enough. Glad God intervened in my life. Now, three things I want to share with you about this almost but lost this morning. First of all, I want to talk about the case of almost. The case of almost. Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to say it's a personal case. Verse 28, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm going to tell you that every person is going to give an account of their self individually, according to what you've done for Calvary's cross. You'll stand there one day without excuse. The Bible said there's coming a day that every head would bow, every tongue would confess that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it'd be too late for that day if it didn't happen in this walk of life. Oh my, there is a case of almost. It's a personal case. And then in verse 28, I believe it's a prevalent case. That word almost, it's so prevalent in the day and hour we live. How many people have you said, well, have you thought about being saved? Yeah, I thought about it. And one time I nearly got saved, but almost didn't take care of it. I believe it's a prevalent case throughout our churches. Oh, how close people get to the Lord Jesus, how close they get to heaven, but almost is not good enough. Oh my, the case of almost. It's a personal case, it's a prevalent case, but thirdly, I want to say today, it's a puzzling case. Paul said, King Agrippa, surely you believe, and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Not a church member, but a Christian. Now, buddy, I'm going to tell you something about a Christian. It means Christ-like. It means that he's had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because listen, young people, just because I walk into a McDonald's don't make me be a hamburger this morning. Just because you're in a church don't make you be a Christian. Just because I walk in a garage, it don't mean that I'm a car. Christian. It's a puzzling effect. Why wouldn't anybody want to be a Christian? I could understand. On some instances. And I want to hurriedly get along with this sermon. I want to talk about this case of almost. But secondly, I want to dig in on the cause of almost. Why wouldn't people want to be saved? Because. I believe with all my heart. I read it this morning, and I didn't catch it till I read it here in Sunday school. In Psalms chapter number 1, there's a cause of almost. I believe some causes of the reason people don't get saved is because of ungodly people. Psalms chapter number 1. You better watch who you run around with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Oh, how I would hate to know that I stood before God judgment day, and I stood and I have give the wrong testimony to sinners. I got in the way of the gospel being preached. I got in the way of God saving sinners. I believe there's a cause of almost. I believe it's cause of ungodly people. I believe it'll be a lot of young'uns die and go to hell cause Baptist people. I do. I believe that it'll be a lot of young'uns die and go to hell in Baptist churches because of ungodly people that stood in the way of the Holy Ghost moving in the lives of sinners. God help you get up and walk out on an invitation. God help you. God help you when the man of God preaches and he gives an invitation and you take it so flippantly and you just get up and walk out during the invitation. Drives me wild to see people that don't respect the moving of the Holy Ghost. This is not a social club church. This is a house of God where the Spirit of God rules and reigns and operates and sinners can be saved. I believe there's a cause of almost. I believe because it's of ungodly people. No doubt we are an open book. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're a member of this church, people come in, they look at you like you've been eating sawbriars and gravel gravy all week. Why in the world would they want what you got? They hear you belly aching and a bad old attitude and a bad spirit. Why would anybody want to know about this Jesus that lives in our heart? We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be a joy of people and a praising people and a loving people, a forgiving people. Oh, I don't want to be around bitterness. I don't want bitterness in my preaching. Don't want bitterness in the church. We need to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost move in these days and these hours. I believe there's a cause of almost because ungodly peoples got in the way. They wanted their way. They wanted to run the church their way. Honey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life this morning. And oh, you better watch out about these ungodly people, even with your children. I want to say something right here today. You better watch their heroes, because that means they got their sights set to being like that person. You better be sure. You better watch who your youngins' idols are. You better be watching who your youngins' heroes are. You better pick them out, some old saints of God around the house of God. Let them be your hero. Some Elijahs of the Bible. Oh my, some Enochs of the Bible that walked with God and was not, for God took him. I love being one of them preachers that God takes away from this old world. I believe that there's a cause of almost. I believe it's of some ungodly people. I'm going to tell you, influence is critical this morning. Some of you daddies say, preacher, leave me alone. My drinking and sinning and loose living ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's a lie from the devil this morning. You are hurting somebody beside yourself. That old saying about telling you youngins, you do as I say do instead of the way I do, it don't work, honey. If you're going to live like hell, your youngins will live like hell. You better be careful of the influence of where you're leading others to. This morning, I believe with all of my heart that there is a cause of almost ungodly people. Secondly, unguarded paths, I believe, is a big cause of people dying and going to hell in their sin. Unguarded paths. Matthew 7, verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse number 13. The Bible says this about unguarded paths. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Boy, we got Baptist churches this morning that the gates are open wide on this drama stuff. But I'm going to tell you why. The cause of almost, cause of unguarded paths. Oh, how the leadership better guard these old paths that our forefathers walked in and preaching and praying and praising this morning. You say, preacher, you can't build a crowd the way you preach. It's full this morning. Some of you not here, but you hear anyhow. Some of you done heard more than you want to hear because you're used to some little pansy preacher hanging around. Little lace on his cuffs. You're used to a little politician in a pulpit shaking your hand about how glad to hear. Honey, you better see what this Bible says. He said, straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life. There's a gap in path that's been opened in Christendom. Just all roads lead to heaven. Just do as good as you can. But honey, it's a lie from the devil this morning. All roads don't lead to heaven today. Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. I believe the reason people die and go to hell because of unguarded paths. Unfortunately, now we've got a social leadership in the White House. Nothing's wrong anymore. And the Muslims is our brothers and sisters. But honey, the Bible says if you bypass Jesus Christ, you are not our brothers and sisters. Not preaching a hate gospel this morning. I'm preaching the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ today. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you don't like that kind of preaching, I'll get a handful and go back to a storefront. I ain't got to have a steeple to have the Lord this morning. Amen. We're not on a membership drive. Amen. and a membership campaign. See how big we can grow and how many walls we can knock out. And if God wants it, to God be the glory. But let's keep the Holy Ghost in our church. Hallelujah. You say, where we come from, they don't stand on pews. Listen to us. Ungodly paths. You know something? You better guard where your young'uns is hanging out. You better watch what they're looking at. If you're watching it, they're watching it. If you're going over there, they're going. You know why? They got no choice. They're following you. The cause of Almo. I believe all my heart, ungodly people. Unguarded paths. You see, he said, because straight's the gate, narrow's the way that leadeth to life. And what you hear, and few there be that find it. Matter of fact, you know how few the last census that the Southern Baptists put out, you know how few it was? When a person reaches 25 years old, 1 out of 10,000 gets saved. When a person's 35, they become 1 out of 50,000 if they get saved. When a person reaches 45 years old, you become 1 out of 200,000 that get saved. When you reach the age of 60 years old, you become 1 out of 400,000. When you're 75 years old, you become 1 out of 700,000. Few be there that find it. Why, preacher? Ungodly people. You better get your young'uns. You better get your loved ones around some influence that's got godliness around them. You can still build your fire. Roast your hot dog. Not have to have your 12-pack of Budweiser to fellowship. Amen. You don't have to run with the mooses and the gooses. Amen. How come some of y'all looking down, we ain't praying, we're preaching? You little liberal sissy. Ungodly people. Ungoverned paths. You better watch out where you're hanging out. You better not trust this flesh. Oh, I can go, preacher. Just let me alone. Yeah, you'll be shipwrecked. Ungodly people. Unguarded paths. And I believe Luke 12, how come people say almost? Because ungrateful possessions. Luke 12, 16, ungrateful possessions. You know something, everything you got this morning, you ought to thank the Lord Jesus for it. We want to bellyache and gripe about what we ain't got. Why don't you just thank Him and praise Him for what you do got? Ungrateful possessions. Luke 12. You know, it's a blessing when a man gets broke. Then he don't stay so high and mighty. Some of you got saved this morning by the preaching of the gospel because God broke you down to let you look up. A lot of people are way too high and mighty to get saved. It'll be another time, preacher. Another time. Ungrateful possessions. Luke 12, verse 16, he spake a parable to them saying that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'm going to tell you something. Bigger is not always greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ungrateful possessions. You know, this Laodicea church age, it makes God sick. You know what they said in the book of Revelation chapter number 3? We have need of nothing. But Jesus said, thou knowest not that thou art blind, wretched, and miserable. Oh my, this morning. The Bible said, how hard is it for a rich man to get saved? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I believe that this morning. I believe the reason more people are not saved because of ungrateful possession. They don't need God. They think. But let me tell you something. When you lose all them and leave all them, whose things will they be? Ungodly people, unguarded paths, ungrateful possessions. But then I believe ungoverned pride, ego, going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. Ego. Luke 12 and 15, Jesus said this, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Let me tell you something right now. The man with the most toys does not win. Ego is going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. You know why? Because you wouldn't bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, I'm going to gamble. You're going to lose with Jesus. You're going to lose. Your luck may be pretty good at the cards or down at the lotto machine, but honey, they's coming a payday someday. You're going to give an account of your sins, and you're going to lose if you don't have the blood of Jesus. Ego. Pride. You know something? That's why people don't flock to a church like this. Ego. Some of you walked in this morning think you done God a favor coming down to this church. You didn't do God a favor. He done you a favor. Some of you so lifted with pride, you think you don't even need Him just on Sunday. A lot of you use God like a flat tire. You have a blowout and you pull Him out of the trunk. Yeah. Try to put Him on the car. Uh-huh. But I've noticed it don't run good like that. Amen. You ever notice that little tire on a big old car don't run right? Amen. It's out of balance. That's where some of you are this morning. You need to go to the tune-up shop. Amen. To the balance shop. You're trying to use Jesus just as a spare tire. Honey, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not something you decide to go do on Sunday and live like the dog on Monday. Amen. Christianity. Your word ought to be your word. Your handshake, a handshake. We ought not even need a contract. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay is what the Bible says. Ought to love each other. Thank God we in a church with imperfect people. You say, preacher, I don't like unperfect people. Then you're in the wrong house. This is full of unperfect people. Amen. Unperfect preacher. What you hunting? Some of you are going to die and go to hell because you pride. Some of your friends think you're saved, but you know inside the Holy Ghost don't live in you. What you going to do judgment day? I close, almost, but lost. You see, there's a case of almost. There's a cause of almost, but thirdly and most important, I want you to hear this one. There's a cost of almost. Do you really think you're just going to die and vanish away? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure your sin will find you out. Some of you young people, you live in a lifestyle just like you think you've got all of your life to live. You may not have next year. Young'uns, In 21 years of preaching, I've seen baby coffins that'll fit on this to stretch out like this. I've seen young kids, 16. I've seen the old at 80 and 90. Death is no respecter of person. Why you think Jesus said today is the day of Sabbath? You know what the devil will tell you? You got next Sunday. You've got... Paul said, surely you'll believe. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be. I wonder if King Agrippa would come back, what he would do with that word almost. We live in a society that don't believe hell's real no more. You listen, young people. I believe with all my heart God's speaking to some young people this morning. Hell's real. Amen. Well, preacher, would the love of God really put me in hell? Now, the love of God will keep you out of hell. If you reject the only thing that He's provided, and if you will not partake of His Son, if you'll not believe in Him by faith and trust that finished work of Calvary, He has no other option but to put you in hell. No other option. Braden, come here, son. I want to ask you something. I know this is a crude situation. But I want to ask you something. Do you think for one second this little boy's daddy gave him to get on a cross for you? And you walk by and you trample the blood of his only son. What do you think that daddy'd do? What do you think God's done with Jesus? He gave us the best thing he has. If it's ever been shown the love of God, we ought to see the love of God on the cross where Jesus hung and died for the sins of this old world. You ought to believe in what Jesus has done for you by faith this morning. Trust Him to save you. There's a cost. I want to say it's an expensive cost. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man died, and the Bible said that he lifted his eyes in a place called hell. You know, and it's something not many preachers is preaching out of this passage anymore. You know why? They scared maybe a few people won't come back next Sunday. But I'd rather be honest and tell your children and tell your loved ones there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun than to pack the building out this morning. It's an expensive cost. Jesus said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. This is what amazes me as a preacher. This is what amazes me as a Christian. We'll go and we'll get insurance on a building and on a car, but we won't get it for ourselves. That amazes me. It's an expensive cost. Hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. If this hadn't changed, I'm tormented in this flame. Boy, this was so bad. Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime you received the good things and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Do you really think you're going to a place where you won't remember no more? He's remembering everything in that past life. How sad. How sad for people step out into an eternal world without Christ. The case, the cause, but the cost. It's an expensive cost, and I'm going to tell you this morning, it's an eternal cost. This place forever. Let me share if you can, Brother David, whatever your number is this morning. Almost thou persuadest me. Brother Mike, my mind can't help but to go back to some people I've seen leave this building in tears, walk right out of that door and tell Jesus, I will later. Liberty Baptist Church, I wonder how many later never did come. Wonder how many's ever been in our service and they got so close to taking that step, coming to Christ. I believe this morning if you want to be saved, you can be saved. I believe Jesus died for everybody. If I didn't believe it, I'd close my Bible. Brother Rob, I'd go to hell. And I believe that Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Brother Randall, I believe that. I believe that. I believe not only did He die for everybody, but He wants everybody to be saved. Why won't you be? Are you really going to take your chances on eternal things? I'm not asking you a church member. I'm not asking you you've been baptized. I'm asking you, has the Holy Spirit ever dealt with you as a sinner and you came to Christ by faith? And asked Him to save me. What really bothers me as a pastor, I see many people, they'll raise their hands, Brother Mike, yes, pray for me, I'm lost, I'm lost. Get the church to pray for me. But the next time that you feel impressed to do it, they don't raise their hands anymore. Something's happened. That's dangerous ground. All I know is this. That Bible's true. And this Holy Ghost that lives in my heart told me to preach this morning. That I know about. Now I want to ask you something. What you going to do with the gospel? Are you going to believe it and be saved? Or are you going to turn in your sins and walk out of this church? Are you going to trust Jesus to save you this morning? You say, preacher, what people think, I wouldn't care what nobody thought. Anybody that's ever been saved right where you are. There'll be people come pray with you. I'll tell you that. See, little old Nick a while ago, when I had a blessing, Brother Tim, come down. Hey, Brother David, come down and pray with the men a while ago. Got saved last Sunday. That a blessing. I bet Jesus heard his little old prayer this morning. Do you want to be saved? You can be. But you're going to have to come I remember the Sunday morning I was lost. It's so real to me. I was so troubled. I'm so glad the old preacher said, come to Jesus. Preacher, how did I get saved? Just simply come to Jesus. Just simply come to Jesus.